storm should reach Sullivan County early this evening. After that, cloudy for the overnight, low 62. Warmer tomorrow with a high 77. This is Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the local edition, news and information to keep you connected. I'm Jason Dole. Coming up on Give Me Liberty, we'll check in with the youth of Liberty to hear what they think about pressing issues of our day and more. But first, this Thursday evening, let's do what we do on Thursdays, checking in with Wayne County. Rosie Starr recently spoke with Jamie Stuncard, festival chair for this year's Honesdale Roots and Rhythm Music and Arts Festival, which is happening this Saturday. Here's Jamie.
We're gearing up after a 2-year sabbatical from good old COVID out there, and we're really excited about getting everyone together in the Central Park again.
Well, Jamie, anyone that's been to that festival knows it's not only fun, it's a family day. So give us some details about the type of music and all the activities there are for everyone. June 18th.
It's basically a community event, free concerts, going to be going on all day. We start out in the morning with downtown bands where we like to bring in a lot of local talent. They'll be playing all up and down Main Street and get a chance to, for people who haven't been in Honesdale before, get a chance to kind of introduce them to the town. And then we move into Central Park where the place is going to be packed. Typically there's 5,000 people in that park just elbow to elbow enjoying some good music. It usually starts out early in the afternoon and we go into about 9 o'clock at night. We're going to have 4 great bands there this year. Like Rosie said, it's a family experience. So in the back of the park, we've got a big tent where there's going to be what we call Tunes and Tales, which is kind of an experience for the younger kids that might not be interested in the music as much. There's going to be lots of family-oriented stuff there, storytelling and hands-on painting and face painting and just all kind of stuff that kids love.
I noticed that Tales, Tunes and Tales, is spelled T-A-L-E-S, not T-A-I-L-S. So it's storytelling, not fishing. Tell us about Tunes and Tales.
Tunes and Tales, yes. Basically, underneath the tent, Jenna Motter from Romping Radishes and her whole crew are the people that kind of been doing this for a number of years. And they always have some fun stuff under the tent. Basically, it's just things to keep the kids happy when and out of the hot sun.
It is the longest days of the summer, June. This festival always happens in June, and it's the long days of the year, which is why the event goes till 9 o'clock, June 18th. Do we have any names that we can put to the music? Who are the musicians coming?
We always like to let people know what's coming up. We're probably going to have maybe about 5 or 6 bands down on Main Street. But we have 4 bands on main stage, and then we have the headliner, which will be the last band playing in the evening. The bands that we have coming up this year, we're going to kick off the whole thing with the Swing Vipers are going to be the first band, and then the Rockinitis will be the next band, and then the Billy Price Band, and then our headliner will be Nikki Hill and her band. And each one of them kind of has their special little niche in the music genre. Billy Price is an American blues soul singer. He was honored in 2016 as a Pittsburgh rock and roll legend. So he'll get people started out going strong, and then we'll move into the Swing Vipers. Anybody that's aficionado of great melody, they're known for their beauty, art, and story of telling a song. They do a lot of tunes from early jazz, to kind of the gritty style of swing, which a lot of people love to listen to. The Rockinitis. Rockinitis is a Hudson Valley band from up in the Poughkeepsie area. They've been around since they first formed in 1988. And they're known for their Chicago blues and their raw Louisiana sounds. So people enjoy them. Then we're finishing off with Nikki Hill. And she... We could say, I've heard the quote, if Tina Turner and Little Richard had a daughter and raised her with the help of uncles James Brown and Chuck Berry, she'd be like Nikki Hill. So you can tell she's going to be a real powerhouse on stage. That's kind of the roundup of what we're looking for on stage, and we'll definitely be getting people going. Everyone can just pick out a space to sit there in the park, and We're hoping the rain holds out this year. It's been very helpful in the past. We've just had one year where we got almost rained out. But other than that, it's going to be a good day.
Yes, there's always a good vibe at that concert. I have pleasant memories of that. It's booked as a music and arts festival, so tell us about the arts.
We're adding on to this. We're calling it an arts and marketplace this year, so we're kind of expanding beyond the arts. There are people that have some crafts, and there'll be some people selling things like it'll be a CD table and just kind of an expansion on some interesting things that people will be interested in getting something and taking it home. I could add that each year we have a guest artist. And this year, Dane Tillman is going to be our guest artist. And he is considered the premier painter of the African-American experience. And he has some of his work in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's going to have a workshop as well during that day. So he'll be bringing a lot of his paintings there for people to see and for people to buy that people want to have something on in their house.
Are you aware of any Wayne County artists being represented that day?
There's someone that's working on Artist Row in the marketplace, and so they're trying to fill up the street. So I don't really have a list of that right now, but we always invite anyone that has some art that they would like to show and sell. We always invite them. Anyone's interested in showing their art, get in contact with us, and I'm sure we can find a space for you.
It is summertime, and lots of folks will be out. There's got to be something to eat at this wonderful affair. What about food vendors?
Yeah, I always say great music deserves great food. Don't bring your brown paper bag because there's plenty of interesting food to be served there as well. We're going to have pulled pork and your smoked beef and your sausages. And beyond that, there's going to be some interesting things like crepes, and there'll be pizza, and I'm sure someone will be able to find something that'll fill that hollow spot in their stomach.
The festival is about sustainability. Tell us about that aspect.
Yes, this has been something that we've been working on for a number of years. A couple years ago, we were able to receive a Zero Waste Event Award from all of our work with sustainability, which means that we strive to have all of the food vendors carry utensils and plates and things that are either compostable or recyclable. And we like to work with a waste management who is able to do a single stream recycling with us. So it's something that we're proud of, and it takes a lot of extra work. I'd like to put a plug in for anyone that would like to support that and would like to help volunteer for that, so that we can make sure that everyone in the park gets their recyclables and their compostables in the right bin.
What's the mood in the community? Is the vibe ready for this?
There's going to be both sides of that. In general, what we've seen is people are just seem real excited to be able to get out and listen to music again. I'm sure those people that are concerned can wear masks. Of course, that's something that we're not going to try to enforce at the park. It's nice that it's going to be outside so that you know everyone will be able to get some space between the people sitting next to them. We think it'll work out fine.
With you at the helm, with all the good vibes, I'm sure it will. Jamie, we talked about musicians, vendors, food. Tell the audience a little bit about the rules.
Yeah, some rules. Well, for one thing, you can't sell things in the park, so you'll probably notice that we're out in the streets when we have all our different vendors. Someone wants to just kind of step into the park to sell some of their product, they can't do that. Alcohol is definitely forbidden in the park. You can't be drinking alcohol. Be civil to everyone and you'll be fine.
Well, thank you again for taking the time to speak with us here at the Cooperage.
Thank you, Rosie.
Before we close, what would you like to add, including some contact information?
Our website's at www.HonesdaleRootsAndRhythmFestival.com, and you'll find out lots of information there about the bands, lots of good photos from the past and archived videos and archived information from the bands in the event from years going clear back to 2006. So you can really see what we've been doing over the years.
Jamie, it's so nice to be at the Honesdale studio with you. It's going to be a great day in June. We all look forward to it. June 18th. And thanks so much for your work. And thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, thank you, Rosie.
All right. Well, thank you, Rosie and Jamie. Remember, you can hear Rosie Starr on Farm and Country this Saturday morning at 11 and every Saturday morning at 11. When we return, we'll be checking in with the young people of Liberty, New York. This is the Local Edition.
I'm your host, Kusar Grace KG, right here in the place to be. The Music Emporium, Tuesday, 7 to 9 on 90.5 FM. Community supported radio serving the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania, and the Upper Delaware Valley. All those other towns, villages, and hamlets who pick up our broadcast, big shout out to you.
This week in This American Life, Mississippi is one of the few states where you lose your right to vote permanently when you go to prison for lots of different crimes. You don't get it back when you get out, but there is one loophole to get that right back.
1721. This is Gerald Laird of Jefferson Davis County.
You get a bill passed in the state legislature. We watch someone try this week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill. Public radio for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania.
I know not what cost others may take. But as for me, give me liberty! 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 Liberty!
Yes, it's Give Me Liberty, the segment where we get to know our neighbors in Liberty, New York, ahead of Radio Catskill's arrival at our new studios and offices on Route 52 in Liberty, New York. You may recall earlier that Tim Bruno and I visited Ms. Fiddle's English class at Liberty High School. Well, just this week we heard from three of her students who sent their class project podcasts to us. And that's what we're going to hear right now. Each of these podcasts is brief, informative, and very real. And all three are totally different from each other. We've got a reported opinion commentary, researched educational piece on mental health, and an unscripted conversation on global affairs. Three different topics, three totally different approaches, and these pieces represent the students' research and opinions. There's nothing more liberty-like than folks speaking their mind. So, give me some liberty, Liberty High School students. First up, it's Mike Kenzie with I Will Never Be Silent.
Who do you think the overturn of Roe v. Wade will affect? As a woman, I have the obligation to fight for my natural rights, whether it is through a speech, online, or through a podcast. My name is Mike Kenzie, and this is I Will Never Be Silent. The overturn of Roe v. Wade will not only affect people with uteruses, but it will also affect LGBTQ+ marriage rights and interracial marriage, according to Bailey Klinkhammer. If abortion is criminalized, so are miscarriages. This will defranchise a large voter group, which is, of course, women. This is not just about abortion. It is about the control of women and our bodies. According to DNC War Room and Pam Keith Esquire, Louisiana Republicans are pushing a bill that would not just criminalize abortion, it could potentially see women charged with murder for pursuing IVF, using an IUD, or for having a miscarriage. I asked classmate, how do you feel about the possibility that Roe v. Wade will be overturned, being a uterus owner? She answers with, and I quote, I think it is unfair. Taking away a woman's decision is unfair. Not everyone is ready for kids. She understands what her world may be like if Roe v. Wade is overturned. According to Maggie Buchanan, women of color will lose the most. Before Roe was put in place, and I quote, women of color, specifically Black women, were largely invisible to mainstream groups around abortion access and rights. Even though this article was published in 2018, this reality is very much coming true. The racial and gender discrimination present in the U.S. healthcare system is exponential. The historical voices of women of color have been excluded from mainstream society and activism as well. I asked a classmate, how does it feel to be a uterus owner in America, having to fight for your reproductive rights still in 2022? She says, it is sad, and we should have more power. It is 2022, a new year. Just why? Being a uterus owner in America is terrifying. Not knowing if you can receive the proper health care that does exist that may save your life is terrifying. So I ask you, my listeners, who do you think the overturn of Roe v. Wade will affect? This will affect women of color and the racism and discrimination that is faced every day. Women will face men who want to strip them of their rights with no clue as to what bodily autonomy is. LGBTQ plus people face Alito's flawed logic and may not be able to marry who they love. Interracial couples are also facing Alito, and fear they cannot love who they love either. This question is answered to an extent, but there is so much more I wish I had the time for. I will forever continue to fight for those who feel as if they cannot. I will never be silent.
Again, that was Mike Kenzie with I Will Never Be Silent. We're listening to a podcast recorded by Ms. Fiddle's English class in Liberty, New York. Up next, it's Matt with the People's Politics Podcast.
Douche, kawoosh. This is Matthew McCoy in the People in Politics Podcast. Do you have issues with the world? Do you have way too much free time? This is the perfect place for you. If you want to be on this podcast, call 1-800-MATTY-KETTY-INC for a chance to be featured and interviewed on this wonderful podcast. So, the world is getting hostile, especially in Europe. There's not one, two, or three sides to this story. Each person believes something different. Some believe that America should make Ukraine its main focus. Some believe that America should stay out of the conflict. Well, what is your opinion on the conflict? What should America do? This is James in ninth grade from Liberty High School speaking.
So, for me, I mean, I feel like we shouldn't be fully involved in the war, but I don't also think that we shouldn't be left out and, like, not putting any mind to it. I feel like there has to be a middle ground for us because, yes, they're still our allies, and it will help keep peace with the world.
So what should that middle ground be?
That middle ground be is, like, yeah, I think we should have troops there. But, like, we shouldn't, like, fully commit to it. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be our main focus point. It would just be an aid to whatever Ukraine needs. Like, we shouldn't be controlling it.
So we should supply them with troops and...
troops and resources.
Okay. I see your point now. This is Mason Smith from Liberty High School. What do you think about this conflict? What should America do?
I agree with James' example a little bit, but a part of me feels like that the USA should stop helping Ukraine and not send them supplies and help them in the war so that we don't get involved in a big war and Russia doesn't turn on us and start trying to bomb us and stuff, and that we know, like, not a lot of people die again, like in, like, World War and stuff.
So you want to prevent a world war?
Yeah. So, like, I don't want to, like, join with them and help them fight against Russia so that nothing, like, turns bad on the U.S.
So Russia's been talking about kind of pressuring the U.S. into doing what it wants and making it not help Ukraine. Do you think we should give in to those Russian pressures at the cost of maybe, like, a world war, or what should we do?
I think, yeah, like, we shouldn't, like, send them anything because, like, other people are, like, helping them. So, like, if we don't, it'll be fine for them a little bit. But, yeah.
I mean, but I feel like, though, that we should, like, hold it to a middle ground where it becomes just very, like, doesn't come as, like, war-focused. That's just, like, a battle, you know what I mean? So, like, it just becomes to where a point where, like, they sign off on it with a treaty because they don't want to keep wasting resources and their armies for it.
So we should essentially give humanitarian aid. So basically, let's say there's, I believe, like, 4 million refugees. We should aid them and keep just replenishing resources that Ukraine's losing so Russia can never really win. And they're just fighting a useless battle, which will eventually force them to stop. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because, I mean, I feel like we have this one of the strongest militaries in the world, and we have enough resources here in the U.S., though, to do that. Because eventually Russia's going to run out, and then if another country, like, chips in, it's still not going to be able to compare with us, I would say.
You know, I think you have a good idea. Russia was actually very delayed. People thought Russia would just kind of blitz Ukraine, and it ended up, instead of taking a few weeks to a month, it's been, you know, 3 or 4 months, and they still made not much progress. So I think that, you know, both of you have good points, and I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer, but I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out. Do you have anything else to say, Mason?
Not really. Not that, like, I mean, yeah, you guys gave, like, a good example, but I'm still standing with, like, mine that we shouldn't help them, like, supply and everything. Because, like, I don't want anything bad to happen and stuff.
And do you want to, would you rather just us focus on ourselves instead of Ukraine first? Because we have our own issues.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But, though, what do you see happening? Do you see Russia actually taking over Ukraine?
I don't see Russia taking over Ukraine.
I believe that Ukraine's probably still going to, like, stand their ground and fight them off, because I feel like a lot of soldiers are going to stop wanting to, like, help and, like, lose their lives and stuff trying to fight for Ukraine's land, and they'll probably start retreating.
Yeah, the Russian soldiers have been very demoralized and very, you know, just very upset, because I feel like some of them learned the truth of they're just invading just to, you know, for power and money and land, and there's no really better reason, and horrible crimes are being committed against Ukraine because that. So, I guess it really depends on your opinion.
You know, I agree.
Thank you for watching the People in Politics podcast. It is our pleasure to present different perspectives on different issues for you. If you have any questions, or even if you want to come in live, dial 1-800-MATTYCATTYINC. Have a great day, my fellow Samaritan. What do I do now?
Okay, and of course, disclaimer, that's not a real phone number. All right, we have one more podcast from local students in Liberty. This one is an educational piece from David. It focuses on a specific mental disorder. And again, this segment represents the research and interest of this local student at Liberty High School. It's not intended as mental health advice or expert opinion. This is David's first ever podcast. And here he is.
Dissociative identity disorder, formerly referred to as multiplicative personality disorder, is a mental disorder in which a patient's mind is split into multiple identities, each with their own thoughts, ideas, aspirations, and even lifestyles. Together, we'll uncover the mystery of this disorder, learning all there is to know about it, while we ponder the question of if this disorder is a burden which prevents these trauma survivors from living normal lives, or if it provides an escape for these people which allows them to avoid and cope with their traumatic past. While the world of this disorder may be an intricate and confusing place, due to extensive studies and research on it, we can have a general idea of how it works and what causes it. The following quote from credible source Gogel states, "Dissociative identity disorder, aka DID, is a chronic post-traumatic disorder where developmentally stressful events during childhood, including abuse, emotional neglect, disturbed attachment, and boundary violations are central and typical etiological factors." This article later goes on to state, "Enduring decoupling of psychological modes may create separate senses of self, and meta-memory processes may be involved in inter-identity amnesia. While all of that may appear simple to some, this rabbit hole goes a lot further than one may assume. These separate senses of self, which this article refers to, are commonly referred to as alters. There are many types of alters, all with their own tasks and roles within a DID system. One of the more common roles are called gatekeepers, whose task is to withhold traumatic memories from other alters, making it easier for those other alters to live within the system. Another task for those gatekeepers is to manage and take care of alters referred to as littles. Littles are alters who are children. They behave, talk, and live just like a child would, and so they too require attention just like any other child. Next on the list is caretakers. These alters take care of not only littles, but also all other identities within the system. Some of the ways that these alters operate are by handling negative experiences that the body may endure, comforting alters through troubling times and situations, and sometimes even providing advice for other alters. Everyone needs a little help to get them through the day sometimes, and to these systems, caretakers are just that. Next up are the persecutors. These alters are sometimes referred to as toxic or evil due to the way that they treat other alters, as well as their unhealthy coping mechanisms. These alters are usually self-destructive and full of pent-up emotions, which they take out on the people around them, including themselves sometimes. Despite the way that these alters treat people, they are still deserving of love and care, just like anyone else's. After persecutors comes trauma holders. Trauma holders are alters who hold onto and manage traumatic memories. This is more of a subcategory of alter, as it's more of an adjective to categorize alters which hold on to traumatic memories and experiences. Following up on the topic of subcategories is fictives. Fictives are alters which are derived from fictional sources, like TV shows, books, movies, and any other fictional storyline. These alters are commonly created as a form of comfort for all other alters within a system. And these alters aren't just limited to human characters. They can be any species or item from any story, spanning from humanoid beings to sentient or even non-sentient objects. We now come to an identity referred to as the host. The host is the central identity within a DID system. This identity is sometimes referred to as the original, but despite popular belief, that's not always the case. While the host is the original by default, within some cases of this disorder, a host may allow an alter to take control of the physical body for an extended period of time, spanning days, weeks, or even years. During the time this alter is active in place of that host, that alter may take the current host's place as the system's central identity. There can also be multiple hosts within a DID system. These other hosts are normally referred to as co-hosts. Now, while it is impossible for alters to die or pass away, there are things which can be considered comparable to an alter's death. An example of this is entering dormancy. Dormancy is comparable to a hibernation-like slumber, where the alter is not active or even responsive in some cases, for an undetermined or possibly set amount of time. Think of dormancy as a really long sleep, like what bears do in the winter. Another thing comparable to alter death is known as integrations. Integrating is when two alters combine or fuse to create one identity. Sometimes one of the alters will be mostly the same, except with a few new traits and memories from the alter who they fused with, and sometimes this process will form an entirely different identity, who's a fusion of both identities involved in the process. Now, you're likely wondering if there's a way for these identities to interact and communicate with each other, and luckily there is. The space in which these alters converse with each other is known as the inner world. The inner world isn't just a dark void or a vast chasm of emptiness. It can be anything the system desires it to be, like a hotel, a living room, or even things like a spaceship or a castle. However, sometimes systems have no inner world, and that's perfectly okay. Systems without an inner world can still talk to each other all the same, yet they just can't see each other. Some additional information on this disorder is that it's very much more common than you might think, with an estimated 1% of the population having this disorder. To put into perspective, Gogel states, DID has an estimated lifetime prevalence of around 1.5%, meaning that at least 1 million people in the UK will suffer from DID during their life. Finally, we track back to the question of whether this disorder is a burden, which prevents these people from living normal lives, or if it's an escape, which allows these people to cope with their traumatic past, and I don't think there's a definitive answer to that question. Each case is different and unique, so there's really no one size which fits all. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast and allowing me to inform you on the intricate world of dissociative identity disorder. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much to these students from Liberty High School who shared their miniature podcast with us. It's been great listening to them, and it's been great spending this time with you, listener, here on Give Me Liberty, only on the local edition, only on Radio Catskill. Do stay right where we are, because it is time for Ramble Tamble with John Gordon. Thank you for listening.
This is WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello. Radio Catskill, keeping you connected with the local edition.
Feeding America is predicting this increased need will be with us for at least another 4 years.
Weeknights at 6:30.
The one thing I can always say about Wayne County is when we see a need, we fill it.
Right after All Things Considered.
Ninth Grade Honors is doing a podcasting unit. They're taking their research, they're compiling it, and then they're writing a script and creating a podcast episode instead of a research paper.
The Local Edition on Radio Catskill.
This is Ari Shapiro with NPR. If you've been thinking about helping this station with a contribution, but now is not the right time for a financial gift, you can donate a vehicle you don't need. Pickup is free, and it could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Think about it, and thanks.
Go to wjffradio.org.